The Extra Pack of Peanuts Travel Podcast, Episode 10. While Chicago is named the Windy City, Boston is actually the windiest big city in the United States. I'll show you Paris in the morning. I'll show you London afternoon. If you feel your Dublin heart is burning, yeah, well, you don't. Hello, travel nerds, and welcome to the Extra Pack of Peanuts Travel Podcast, the show that teaches you how to travel more while spending less. I'm Trav, the creator of Extra Pack of Peanuts, and with me today is a man who has such a love affair with both helping people travel cheaper and frequent flyer miles that he's created a company that merges those two concepts. Jay Hoffman, CEO and founder of Rocket Miles. Jay, thanks for coming on the show and welcome.
Thank you for having me, Travis. I was excited to do the show this week.
Yeah, and I want to delve into your personal feelings and thoughts about travel because you are definitely a travel nerd like myself, and we'll do that later in the podcast. But first, I'd love for you to tell people about Rocket Miles since it's a fairly new company. And I guess we could start with what was the genesis of Rocket Miles and how did it kind of come about?
Yeah, it's a good question. Rocket Miles is only a couple of months old. We put the company together back in November and launched the product live in April, and I've gotten just a tremendous amount of feedback from consumers so far. In a nutshell, what Rocket Miles does is it allows individuals to earn thousands of miles for every hotel booking. On average, our customers are earning about 7,000 airline miles whenever they make a hotel booking with us. So if you're traveling once a month or 12 times a year, that gives you the chance to earn an extra 80,000 miles every year. 80,000 miles is good enough for two people to travel to Hawaii or one person to travel to New Zealand, or maybe one person to travel on a business class ticket over to Europe. So that's the kind of impact that we want to have in people's lives. The genesis for it is really from personal experience. My first job after I got out of college was working for a consulting firm, and that meant that I was on the road 4 or 5 days a week. At that stage of my life, I had really loved travel, but it was mostly road trips and backpacking and camping, things that you can do in the United States without necessarily having a fleet of airplanes or frequent flyer miles.
Right.
After I took the job in consulting, I was interested in learning more about this economy. And having been on the road 4 or 5 days a week, I saved up lots of miles and lots of hotel points, and I was able to get much further afield. So my first big trip as a traveler was using all of the Mileage Plus miles and a lot of my Hilton Honors points to travel to Bangkok and then Nepal. So I had the chance to hike around the Annapurna Circuit, and that was my first taste of getting out of the United States and having a little bit more adventurous kind of travel.
Yeah, that's great. So I guess the genesis of Rocket Miles started, you know, it was an idea you had well before you actually then launched it.
Yeah, that's right. So, you know, I think I became fond of traveling and what it meant to me personally back when I was a consultant. Later on, I had the chance to lead the partnership business at Mileage Plus. So if any of your listeners have Mileage Plus Visa credit cards, or if they earn points or miles for dining programs or shopping programs or car rental programs, I was responsible for that piece of business for Mileage Plus. And I was observing Groupon and Living Social to some extent and wondering why some of that approach to e-commerce couldn't be migrated over to a world where you weren't getting a cash discount, but instead you were earning a ton of miles or a ton of points. Later on in life, I actually spent about a year and a half at Groupon helping build new businesses at Groupon. And nowadays, I'm kind of trying to tie all of those things together. So instead of getting a really terrific cash discount, our customers have a very simple shopping experience, and they earn thousands of miles for every booking that they make.
Yeah, well, I'm sure there's a ton of people out there that want to thank you because, you know, most of my listeners and readers are frequent flyer nuts and have tons, you know, thousands or millions of United miles. So we all thank you for kind of leading the charge there when you were with United.
Well, I guess I would say United and I should be thanking them because it's a very lucrative part of the business. When the airline goes up and down, sometimes it's the sale of miles to the credit card companies, which keeps the airline afloat. So that feeling is certainly mutual.
Oh, very interesting. So with Rocket Miles, then you touched on a little bit, what's kind of the main goal of Rocket Miles and who is the target market for Rocket Miles?
Yeah, you know, the target market for us is somebody who's already familiar with how this economy works, how the frequent flyer economy works. So it's somebody who understands just how valuable these miles or points can be. It's also probably somebody who travels a fair bit. So on average, our customers travel 12 to 14 times per year. They're typically enrolled in multiple loyalty programs, but they've got a fondness for one of them in particular. A lot of our customers are big dreamers too. So a lot of our customers have something in mind. They think to themselves that they want to take their family to Disney World for a nice family vacation, or perhaps they want to take their wife to Hawaii for an anniversary trip, or maybe even travel to do something adventurous, to go hiking in Machu Picchu or go taste wine in Paris or nearby Paris, with their friends from college. So they've got something in mind and they're very goal oriented. Sometimes they're very type A oriented. and we want to help them achieve that goal a lot more quickly. So instead of it taking 2 or 3 years to get to Machu Picchu, we'd rather have them get to Machu Picchu this year and then maybe go hike in Nepal next year and then go hike in the Alps the year after that. So if we're successful, we'll be enabling a lot more vacations.
Yeah. And that's really important. One of the first things I tell all the readers and people who sign up for my book and stuff like that is come up with a goal of somewhere you want to go. Like, make it tangible. I want to, like, you gave tons of examples, Machu Picchu or, you know, snorkeling on the Great Barrier Reef, but making it tangible, I think, really helps someone then focus on, okay, well, why should they get these frequent flyer miles instead of just collecting a number? You know, they're collecting a number towards something.
Yeah. Well, you know, what was really interesting was, I think that people have always had those goals, but sometimes we struggled to celebrate those back when I was at Mileage Plus. And I think part of the reason was that outside of flying around and outside of using the credit card products, it was pretty hard to make progress toward that goals. So in a typical dining program or shopping program, sometimes you might have a great opportunity to get 5 miles for every dollar you spend for a couple of days. But ultimately, it takes a lot of affiliate shopping purchases to be able to get to Paris. So our goal here is to not make it tiny steps in that direction, but gigantic leaps in that direction.
Yeah, and I think that's a really important point because nowadays, you know, the big giant leaps come with credit card signups and everyone knows that and they're great. But after that, it does kind of fall off. Like you said, you can do online shopping and you can get chunks here and there, but there's no real way that you can earn a lot at one point consistently and over again. And I guess that then is the goal of Rocket Miles, to earn, you know, these chunks of miles so that it becomes tangible a lot quicker, that you can do it, like you said, in a year rather than 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, it's been really fun. We've reached out to some of our best customers over the course of the first few months of just being in business. And one of our customers already has reservations worth 450,000 miles.
Wow.
Another one's got reservations worth 150,000 miles. So it's been fun to participate in and kind of get their stories around why they're using Rocket Miles and the impact that that's going to have on their personal life. Believe it or not, we've got a nun who worked on some of the hurricane relief over in New Jersey, and her miles aren't going to herself, but obviously she's kind of donating them back to the charity that she's a part of. So when you start a company like this, you don't always anticipate exactly how the miles are going to be used, but we think there's something a lot more fun about saving up for a vacation than merely getting cash back. And that's the emotion that we're trying to play into.
Yeah, and I think you obviously are very well versed in frequent flyer miles, so as am I, and some of the listeners will be too. But for people who aren't, you know, frequent flyer miles can offer a lot greater value than just the cash back. You know, if you learn how to maximize them and use them, you know, you can get, for 60,000 miles, you can get trips that would cost thousands of dollars, whereas you're never going to get that return on investment with cash back because usually it's going to be 1% or 2%.
That's right. That's exactly right.
So with Rocket Miles, then, one of the interesting things that I've come across, I know this is a strategy for Rocket Miles, is that you don't list deals under a certain amount of miles, correct?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, when we looked out at the marketplace and we did some of our primary research, or what we would call ethnographic research, it felt like that part of the market was reasonably well covered. So if a person wants to go to New York, let's say that they've got a business trip to New York, and they want to see 600 or 700 properties. We think Kayak does a pretty good job at that. Room 77 does a great job at that. Hipmunk does a pretty good job for travel search. That market is pretty well flooded in places where you can see the entire world and figure out exactly what hotel is going to be across from your meeting. But we don't feel like there's a great place where you can only see those terrific mileage offers. And we want to clean up all of that search process quite remarkably. So what you'll see on our site is every hotel that we list, you'll get at least 1,000 miles minimum per night. In the case of Virgin, because Virgin Elevate is a little bit different currency, that minimum is 500 points.
Okay.
But you're always going to get a great deal. The reason is that I feel like I learned so much at Groupon around the curation of these each of these incentives. And by that, I mean, if you shop at Groupon or Living Social or Jet Setter, or if you shop on fab.com, you know you're always going to be able to get a great deal and you're going to get a quality product. Similarly, if you shop at Walmart, you know you're always going to get a great price. What Rocket Mile stands for is it's always going to be a great hotel and it's always going to be a great mileage offer. You don't have to worry about that. We're always going to get you into a great property. You're always going to earn a lot of miles. So while we don't have 700 properties in New York, you're always going to see a dozen or a few more than a dozen hotels, and it's going to cover the areas that our business travelers tend to be visiting.
Yeah, I think that's an important point. Is I'm someone who loves looking for deals, obviously, because, you know, that I kind of write a website about it and stuff like that. But, you know, sometimes it can be overwhelming. You go to hotels.com and you search for hotels in New York and you can set the filters and all. But, you know, you see 300, 400 hotels. And if you're someone like me, you'll spend a couple hours looking through hotels trying to get the best deal. My wife's sitting there nagging me like, you know, just book something already. Right.
Yeah.
With Rocket Miles, the nice thing is I'm only seeing, you know, I just did a search for Philadelphia, a dummy search for Philadelphia, and you're seeing 10 properties, and you see right on that front page, all 10 of them, you know, exactly how much it's going to be and exactly how many miles you're going to be. So it really kind of takes all the white noise and all the extra stuff out and leaves you with the best deal. So I think it's good for someone like myself who sometimes can get lost in all that other stuff.
I think it's a great point, Travis, that I enjoy shopping as well. But I think if you think of the view and the climb, that the view is the accumulation of all of the miles, and then the view is where you want to go for your destination, and the climb is all of the accumulation. What we'd rather allow you and your wife to do is make a really easy shopping experience for your work travel, for your accumulation, and then you can reallocate all of those extra 29 minutes out of the 30 minutes to dreaming about how you want to use those miles or the different kinds of wine that you want to taste in Mendocino, or how you're going to be spending more time with friends when you travel. We think that part of shopping is a lot more fun than the business travel part of shopping.
Yeah, there's certainly value in giving people less options, but making sure those options are curated to a degree that they know that they're getting something good, and I think that Rocket Miles does a very good job with that. That's different from the competitors. And kind of the other follow-up question I had with that is, what makes Rocket Miles, other than what we just talked about, is there anything else that makes Rocket Miles unique from the other hotel booking websites?
Yeah, there are. I mean, obviously the big miles is the most important component. We feel like we've got a really clean and simple shopping experience. Right now, it's inspired much more by Fab.com and JetSetter than Orbitz or Expedia. And before we put the business together, we sought to get some really great advisors on board. So we've got alumnus from JetSetter and alumnus from Hotwire who have kind of guided us through that customer experience. The other thing I think is really important is that because we anticipate that most of our customers are going to be really premium customers with high expectations, and oftentimes they're going to be traveling for business, We do all of our customer service in-house. So it's taken some expense, but we've built up a team ourselves of ex-travel agents and ex-business travelers. These are the people who are hand-selecting the hotels that we work with. And these are the people that are taking care of our customers when we need to be doing rebookings or cancellations, or when they've got questions about when their miles are going to be posted. We do all that in-house because we know that we have to have a high repeat purchase rate in order to continue to be successful in the future.
Yeah, I think one of the things that I noticed about Rocket Miles as well is you are actually the merchant of record, correct? As opposed to, you know, going to a website and then booking, that kind of being like a front for booking somewhere else.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, if we decided that we wanted to put together another blog, or if you wanted to put a hotel booking on your site, it'd be what you could do is you could sign up for an Expedia affiliate product or a Travelocity affiliate product, and then you typically get 10, 11, 12% commission. We're not in that world. The only way that we're able to provide the level of mileage incentive that we get is by being the merchant of record. So you could think about our business as working similar to the way that Hotwire works. But instead of getting an incredible cash discount, we're basically taking all of that incentive and we're translating it into miles. And the hotels love it because they're not publicly discounting their price, and we tend to be attracting a little bit more premium customer.
Yeah. And so how does the inner workings work then with it? How do you pick the hotels that you want to be at or that you want on Rocket Miles? And then how do you get the miles from the airlines?
Yeah, that's a good question. In terms of the way that we pick the hotels, there's a little bit of supply and demand that's there. We can't go and hand select each of the hotels that we do and just get them to sign up. So it's a combination of hotels that we think are going to be really well suited to business travel. And that includes a combination of the big branded hotels like Starwood and Hilton and Intercontinental. But it also includes some of the smaller and independent hotels. The way that we work with them is that when they have extra inventory that's available, we make it available to our base. So if there's a bunch of rooms that are going unused at a specific hotel property in New York, we would be able to see into their systems and essentially put that inventory onto Rocket Miles and allow us to rebate a big discount to the customer in the form of miles. The way that we work with the airlines is very similar to the way that a Chase or a Citibank would work with the airlines. And by that, I mean, we've signed up deals with them where they've gotten excited about what Rocket Miles can mean for their customers. And if you've checked out and you've made a booking at that hotel in New York, what we do is we basically send them a message and we say, it's time to award Travis 18,000 mileage plus miles for the stay that he had there in New York.
Okay. Yeah, so really neat. And like you said, the target market for Rocket Miles is mostly this business traveler who's probably going to travel a lot and obviously is pretty well versed in frequent flyer miles. And they're going to be the type of people who can really maximize what they're getting then instead of just the cash back.
Yeah, that's right. And you know, oftentimes they're the ones that have the discretion over where they're going to be staying. And they're the ones who are already familiar with these programs. And, you know, just to be really blunt about it, they've got the most to gain. So somebody that's traveling a lot for business, there's a really, really lucrative mileage opportunity. In fact, I think most of our best customers are earning a lot more miles for their hotel stays than they are earning for the flights that they're taking, whether they're going to New York or London or San Francisco.
Wow. Yeah, that's pretty neat. Now, with Rocket Miles, do you see Rocket Miles expanding into other areas at some point outside of the hotel bookings?
Yeah, I mean, there's more that we can do within hotel bookings. It's been really fun since we launched. We've gotten a bunch of inbound inquiries from hotels that are interested in getting access to some of our customers. So we're going to go deeper with more hotels and be spreading out into more cities. We've also got inquiries from car rental partners and dining programs. So that if we've got a whole bunch of customers that are in New York again, Hertz and Avis have really great car rental products. There's Black Car Services that would also like to serve those business travelers. We've begun conversations with Silver Car as an example, which is another potential partner of ours. On the dining side of things, there's plenty of people that are traveling for work and maybe they'd like to get room service. Maybe they'd like to find a new restaurant. So there's opportunities for us to extend over in that direction as well.
Yeah, very neat. And you guys are doing a great job so far on the hotel front. So I could see, you know, I could see that crossing over and doing very well there. Before recording, I did a little bit of cross-checking with prices, you know, between rates that I could get with Rocket Miles versus, and this time I picked Expedia. And out of the 10 hotels I checked, 7 of them were the exact same price. So, you know, with getting the miles from Rocket Miles, for example, the Sheraton Philadelphia was $149 on Expedia and Rocket Miles, but I was receiving an extra 3,000 United miles if I booked with Rocket Miles. So obviously the prices, if they're the same, Rocket Miles is by far the better deal. One of the times Rocket Miles had availability that Expedia didn't, one of the times Rocket Miles was cheaper than Expedia, plus I would also be getting the miles, and then one of the times Rocket Miles was more than Expedia. Right. Are those results fairly typical, and is there something people can consistently expect when pricing out, you know, hotels with Rocket Miles versus other booking engines, be it Expedia or Kayak or anything like that?
It's a great question, and I think it's a really important question. We want to make absolutely clear to our customers that our intention is not to charge a little bit more for a hotel and then have a few extra dollars to be able to fund the miles. So our goal is to make that 7 out of 10, 10 out of 10. But in some cases, Travelocity is a little bit cheaper than Expedia, or Orbitz is a little bit more expensive than Expedia. So to the extent that there's any difference, whether we're a little bit cheaper or a little bit more expensive, it's just because there's some variability in the marketplace itself. So what we try to do is we try to peg our prices to be the same as the average public price, which means that the 7 out of 10 is basically those 7 instances are the ones that we're looking for. I'm surprised at the one where it showed up on Rocket Miles and it didn't show up on Expedia, because typically those online travel agencies usually have the most selection. So that's a little bit of an outlier too. But overall, like 70-80% of the time, our prices are running at the same price as what you would find on every OTA. And when they're not, when they're a little bit high or when they're a little bit low, it's not by design. It's just because there's some variability in the marketplace.
Right. And I've done enough hotel booking over, you know, over the years that, yeah, you can go on hotels.com some point, it's cheaper than this and that. But, you know, for I think 7 out of 10 times or 8 out of 10 times is pretty consistent with the fact that it's going to be, you know, you can be sure that if you're going to Rocket Miles, you're going to be getting prices that are the same, with the exception of a very few outliers, which, you know, I think is just with prices changing all the time, that's going to happen regardless of how, you know, on top of things everyone is.
That's right. Yeah. And, you know, there's all kinds of different policies related to when a hotel is cancelable or how many nights you've got, or Las Vegas in particular is an interesting market because oftentimes you can get an inclusion of some casino credit. So it's actually quite a complicated part of our technology that creates what those list prices are, what those public prices are. And we could probably have a 2 or 3 hour podcast on just how the technology works, but it might not be as fun as talking about what the payoff is.
Yeah, I can imagine there's a lot that goes into it that would make my head spin, probably your head spin daily.
That's for sure.
Now, with the pricing then, you know, it's based on the average price then for other things. Is there a time that you would suggest with people? And sometimes business travelers can't pick when they travel. Mm-hmm. But is there anything that you've noticed over your time working with hotels and all, that if it was someone who's traveling for leisure and wanted to get the best price on hotels, is there some kind of advice you can give them for that?
Yeah, you know, I think if you really only care about price, Rocket Miles is probably not the site for you. Or if you've got a friend, let's say you've got a friend who really cares about price, that might not be the best advice to have them to book at Rocket Miles. You're going to get a fair price. You're going to get a good price at Rocket Miles, but you'll always be able to get a better price at a site like Hotwire or in some cases Hotel Tonight. The friends of mine who are most sophisticated about all of this would go on Hotwire, and then they would cross-reference it with a site called betterbidding.com. Okay. Which essentially allows you to unveil the opaqueness that Hotwire provides. So that's kind of an interesting way to go about, you know, trying to figure out if there's a good hotel on Hotwire that you can get where you get a really great discount. So we did some of that research, and some of those same hotels that we know show up on Hotwire all the time are hotels that are very relevant for us to try to bring into the Rocket Mile roster.
Yeah. And at this point, how many different cities are you in with Rocket Miles?
I think it goes up every week. I think we're in more than 25 cities right now. We've just begun a push to go internationally.
Okay.
So you're going to see more and more international cities coming online here in the upcoming weeks.
And you're with, as far as I'm concerned, or as far as North American travelers are concerned, you're with all the major airlines, correct?
Yeah, we are. You know, we're still working on Southwest.
Okay.
And there's a few other airlines that we would call important airlines. I don't know if you would call them major airlines, but we'd love to get Alaska on board. Right now, the big legacy guys, though, are participating in the program. So Delta SkyMiles, American Advantage, United Mileage Plus are all on board. U.S. Airways Dividend Miles, Hawaiian Miles. And then we also just launched with Virgin America Elevate last week Thursday and had a really successful launch promotion with them.
Yeah, I noticed that, and that was great. And yeah, I guess by major, I guess in terms of volume and people flying, all the major ones, in the United States. But yeah, if you could add Southwest and a few of the others, and I'm sure you're trying at this point, that would just push Rocket Miles even further, I'm assuming.
Yeah, you know, we're excited about it. And, you know, in particular, some of those brands have very loyal followings, and they're great matches for the small business clientele. Virgin America, for example, is really popular within the entrepreneurial community out in Palo Alto and San Francisco. So I think part of the reason that we've had a successful launch with them is that the product is really well matched to who their clientele is.
Yeah. And at this point then, what is the reception that you've gotten about Rocket Miles? You've been in the marketplace, what is it now, 3 or 4 months? What kind of reception have you received?
It's been terrific. I mean, we couldn't be more excited about the reception that we've received. One of the most important metrics that we measure is our repeat booking rate. And I can't share the specific number with you, but the repeat booking rate has been about twice what we expected it would be. We're excited when customers come back and begin telling their friends about the program. So that's been terrific. We're also really excited about the inbound inquiries that we've gotten from hotels. So we thought for a long time this was going to be more of a sales process, when in reality, a lot of hotels have been coming to us and getting excited about marketing to our base. So far it's been great. And the airline partners have also been quite excited about pushing this out to their membership base by sending emails on our behalf and using some of their marketing channels.
Yeah, that's great. And obviously, anytime you get people contacting you as opposed to contacting them, you know, you're doing something right there.
That's right. That's right.
And obviously, you're a huge proponent of frequent flyer miles. You know, you run a company based around frequent flyer miles, and of course, so am I. Why do you think there's still a large portion of the public that doesn't use frequent flyer miles?
You know, it's a good question. I think there's a lot of people who really don't travel around enough to be familiar with that. The other thing is, sometimes it takes a long time to save up to reaching your goal. And, you know, if you were to think about the legacy airlines here in the United States, as an example, typically it takes about 25,000 miles to reach up to your goal. And that might mean that if you're only traveling around once or twice per year, it might take you 3 or 4 or 5 years in order to get up to your goal. Which means that the redemption products aren't always as relevant for people as Starbucks would be or as Amazon would be. I think we're trying to solve that a little bit because we're kind of putting a big jetpack on your mileage balance. But I think it's been challenging for people that that maybe don't travel around enough. Sometimes these rewards are a little bit too aspirational, or it takes a little bit too long to reach out to them.
Yeah. Have you found too that I know a lot of what I do is explaining frequent flyer miles, and I, you know, back 3 years ago, I had no idea what they were. I didn't accumulate any of them, and now I teach people about them. Have you found that a lot of either when you're at United Mileage Plus or now at Rocket Miles, that it's this idea that they just don't understand what they are or really how valuable they can be?
Yeah, you know, I think that there's definitely a learning curve. And the other thing that's interesting is a lot of the airlines are undergoing some changes about the way that they do their redemption charts. So back when I was at Mileage Plus, for example, we got really excited about offering more than just airline awards. So we began offering the chance to redeem your Mileage Plus miles on hotels and on car rental, around a whole bunch of other things. The reason being that there's sort of a supply and demand imbalance, and there's a lot more miles being accumulated than there are seats. So the airlines have had to kind of rejigger the way that their redemption charts work. I think JetBlue did a really nice job of changing the way that their redemption program works so that you could always redeem your miles. And all the airlines are a little bit different stage in their evolution. Usually these things are quite controversial, but I think in most cases, the airlines are genuine in their willingness to try to make those programs more flexible.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. And I do think that a lot of it kind of comes with the confusion around frequent flyer miles. You know, before I knew anything, I thought, okay, I can only earn frequent flyer miles from flying, and I don't fly enough to earn a lot of frequent flyer miles, so it's not worth it. And now with, you know, the myriad of ways to earn frequent flyer miles, whether it be credit cards or, you know, hotel bookings with Rocket Miles or online shopping, I think now it's started to come into the public conscious a little more, you know, because you see it more often. I think people's ears are perking up a little more where they know, all right, it's not just about flying anymore. It's actually all of these other things that I can do and never really even set foot on an airplane, and I can still earn enough frequent flyer miles to go on a trip or something like that.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. And the point that you made earlier, Travis, about having a goal is really important, because if I was on a cashback program, I'm probably going to be buying that set of shoes anyway, or I'm probably going to be buying that book on Amazon.com anyway. There's something more aspirational and there's something more emotional, I think, about saving up for a trip. Usually you're doing that in conjunction with one of your friends, or you're doing it in conjunction with some self-awareness that you want to build. There's some interesting fulfillment that goes along with travel, which I think makes it a little bit more interesting category, a little bit more rewarding race to be a part of.
Yeah, I completely agree. And the cashback, you know, unless you're really tracking it, you you're going to spend that, like you said, you're going to spend that money again. You're not even going to really know you saved the money because it's probably going to end up being spent on something else. Whereas with the frequent flyer miles, you know, as you build them, you have that goal and you say, well, okay, now I'm going to be flying to Paris. I never could have done this because I wouldn't have been able to save up the money to do it. But it's kind of forcing you to save it up because, you know, you're using it for something that you can't just go out and buy.
Yeah. And I mean, not to go too much on the couch here, but I think that there's a lot of people who have grown up in circumstances where it would have felt awfully extravagant to take a business class trip to Paris or to go to Nepal or to do one of those things. And I think part of what the frequent flyer miles enable people to do is take a trip that might have felt awfully extravagant because there's a sense of this being earned or found money. And I think we those of us that work in the travel industry are kind of trying to create these unique experiences that frugal people or modest people or people who grew up in different kinds of circumstances, you know, even if they had all the money in the world, they would have felt a little bit funny about buying a $20,000 business class or first class trip over to Australia.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about yourself then. You know, you are obviously an avid traveler and have a huge passion for travel. What is your traveling history and where does your desire to travel kind of come from?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think I'm a big believer in the spontaneity of travel. And one of the things I always enjoyed when I was taking road trips was the ability to kind of change course at the last minute. And we did a lot of driving trips out west, camping at national parks and things. And it was nice to be able to get a tip from somebody and then decide to drive north for eight hours and go camping. Nowadays, when I was back at Mileage Plus, one of the cool things about working at the airline is that usually you can travel around for free. So some of the best trips that I had back when I was working at Mileage Plus had to do with going to Chicago O'Hare and looking at the board and trying to figure out exactly where we were going to go. I remember for Christmas or for the holidays a couple of years ago, we had planned to go down to Buenos Aires and the flights looked like there was plenty of availability and we were looking like we were likely to be able to get a first class cabin and everything. Then a huge snowstorm hit the East Coast. So we threw those plans out the window and ended up flying over to Frankfurt. And because United's part of the Star Alliance, it meant that we basically had access to all of Lufthansa's flight network. So we literally got to Frankfurt. We went to the club and had our beer at 9 a.m. and were trying to decide whether to go to Istanbul or Mallorca or Casablanca and ended up going to Istanbul. So, you know, 18 hours later, we found ourselves in the middle of Istanbul trying to figure out whether to go to the Hagia Sophia or go to the marketplace. And some of the spontaneity of travel can be awfully fun. And I think that the more miles that you have, the more fuel you have to do some of those things that are spontaneous.
I completely agree. I tell people, you know, that if I wanted to tomorrow, given the right availability and whatnot, you know, I could book a flight and go basically anywhere I wanted. And, you know, their eyes light up at that because how many people can say that they can do that? Only, you know, people with a ton of money. And like you said, people with a ton of money willing to blow that money on travel or people with frequent flyer miles. And it really does. It gives you so many options. And once you get to a place, you can then say, well, I want to go here and I have the miles to do it. And you're not kind of, I like building vacations that aren't to one place, but, you know, using stopovers, using open jaws and seeing 3, 4, 5 different places all on one itinerary is kind of the thing that I love to do. And I assume that someone who has the miles like yourself and someone who, you know, was able to fly free with United and stuff, kind of the same idea then?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there may be this may be the subject of a future podcast, but a couple of our customers are saving for the very famous One World Around the World ticket, where I forget exactly how many miles it takes, but it enables you to take as long as you go in one direction. I think you can stop over in 8 or 10 different places, which is sort of a fun and amazing thing to be able to do. I was in grad school, and between grad school and going back to the real world, going back to work, I went on a Malaysia Airways ticket where I think if we flew from LAX over to Kuala Lumpur, we could basically use all of Malaysia Airways route network for, I think it was $1,500 for 3 months.
Wow.
So we ended up traveling to Beijing and then from Hong Kong back to KL. We went to Bangkok, back to KL, to Seoul, back to KL, to Borneo, to India, to Taipei. We were always going back to KL, so we got to know the airport there awfully well. There's a Pan Pacific hotel there that we dropped all of our stuff at all the time. But that was one of the best trips that I had the chance to take in my life so far.
Yeah, whenever you're in Southeast Asia, it inevitably leads back to KL. You know, we did a few trips where we were on Air Asia a lot because it was super cheap to fly. You know, you fly, spend $30 and you go anywhere you want in Southeast Asia, but it was always routing through KL. So inevitably, you know, we'd do a night in KL, we'd go somewhere else, come back, do a night in KL, which is, I think, great because the city, I wasn't too fond of the city itself. It's neat to see once, but the food there is amazing. So, you know, if you get off the plane and you take the 45-minute bus ride into town and then you eat and hang out and then go back to the airport, it's well worth it, I think.
That's right. And we over that time, we got very, very familiar with the music and the in-flight video for Malaysia Airways, believe me.
Yeah. So you've traveled a lot then. What type of tips and tricks do you use when traveling, whether it's to save money or just kind of general things that you found make your trips more enjoyable?
Yeah, you know, I don't know that I've got anything that is incredibly innovative. I've always tried to prepare myself for the spontaneous things that can happen. And part of that has to do with having an open mind. Part of that has to do with packing lightly. I think the first couple of trips that I took, I probably was trying to plan ahead for everything. And nowadays, if you can find a Walmart in the United States, or if you can find a Target or any kind of drugstore, you could pretty much buy whatever you need. So it's pretty easy to travel with a backpack or a single carry-on. The other things I like to do are, I guess I like to get personal advice. And I'm not a huge fan of most of the guidebooks that are out there. Even TripAdvisor, to some extent, is hard to weed through and find those great sources of advice. And sometimes things that advice is perishable. So the best experiences that I've had have been situations where I ran into somebody at the elite club, or I sat next to somebody on the airplane, or I met somebody in a bar and they had a good suggestion for what we were going to go do next because it had just happened the night before. There was a band that was in town, or there was a religious ceremony that was going to be happening that time of year. Just being open to some of those spontaneous interactions have been really useful. I'm always a big believer in doing cultural or sporting or different events too. We had the really good fortune to be in India, to be in Udaipur for the Indian Independence Day. And I think we had a completely different experience being there during that time period than if we had been there a week later. So there's all kinds of things that you can do if you afford yourself just a little bit of flexibility. And, you know, the other thing is, I guess I've grown to really trust the people that you interact with, especially when you're traveling in third world countries. As long as you don't have too much money on you, the worst thing that can happen is you might lose a couple of dollars, or you might get lost, or you might be delayed on a train ride, or you might be delayed in a traffic jam. And at the end of the day, that's not the end of the world. And usually the upside of having a more exotic experience is worth it.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think finding those authentic experiences when traveling is hard to do in one sense if you're not open to it. But if you are, they kind of just present themselves. And that comes with talking to people who live there, or, you know, people who have traveled through there before. And once you're on the ground, obviously that's pretty easy because you talk to the people at your hotel or your hostel or the cab driver or anything like that. And I also think then, you know, being willing to say, okay, well, we maybe had this plan for this day, but this seems like an opportunity that we can't pass up. I think sometimes when people travel, it's planned out to the max. You know, every hour we're doing this, 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 this. And I think building in flexibility into your schedule, which seems kind of, you know, like building it in is a weird way to say be flexible, but to have it there and say, you know, we're going to take options if they come, I think that's really important.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I mean, even, you know, hiring a driver as opposed to taking a train or renting a car, even though you might be worried about the speed on the Autobahn, like those are risks. I think those are risks that are worth taking because it allows you to freelance and improvise a little bit more than you could if you were bound to a train schedule. And, you know, to be honest with you, the having a lot of frequent flyer miles enables you to be spontaneous too, because you could go at the spur of the moment.
Yeah, I completely agree. And one of the tips that I like to give people is, you know, if you're in a group, especially if you're renting a car as opposed to taking the trains, and I like traveling by train because we don't get to do it much here in the States. But if you're with a few people and you're renting a car, it can usually be cheaper, and you find stuff that you never would find on a train because you can stop off. You know, you see a sign and it makes you laugh, or you don't understand it. You stop off and you figure out what it is.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more.
And one of the things that drew me to Rocket Miles in the beginning, I'm a huge nerd. I love reading the about pages for companies and for websites and people. And that was that in your bios for the three founders, each of you at Rocket Miles specifically lists a trip that you want to take in the future. And I think you actually do it then for the advisors as well. And I think that's really neat. And I think, again, it's that idea of making travel tangible. So what are some of the places that you want to go or things that you want to do in the future?
You know, my life has changed a lot, Travis, as a consequence of having some kids. So
yeah, that'll do it.
Yeah, I mean, I've got three kids now, so the epic adventure to New Zealand is probably going to wait a little while. Most of the things that I look forward to doing nowadays are little miniature adventures with the kids. So I had a great trip where we went to Washington, D.C. with my son, and he was studying about American history, and we had a great time going to the Smithsonian museums that are out there. I also like traveling around events, so I'd love to be able to get down to New Orleans for the Jazz Fest next year. I think that would really be a blast. I've got some German heritage, so getting over to Germany for the Oktoberfest would also be a really fun trip. So you know, my things at this point tend to be time that I spend with my wife or time that I spend with my kids and trying to reconnect with them as a result of having a little bit of travel budget and having the chance to interact with them without the homework and without the work and without the soccer practice and all those things.
Now, are most of the time that you're traveling now, it's with the family then?
It is. I mean, I travel a fair bit to work because we do a lot of work with our partners and we do a lot of work with our hotel suppliers. But almost all of my travel, my leisure travel nowadays is with my family.
Okay. And yeah, I would definitely recommend Oktoberfest. I had the good fortune of being there in 2009, mm-hmm. 2010. I don't remember. But I was there in Munich, and you know, it was one of the few things I've done in my life where I had super high expectations and it just blew those expectations away. You know, the things that you think this is going to be awesome. And then there's not really a word to describe it. You know, more than awesome, I guess, but it just blew my expectations away. So, if you get the chance to do it, I would highly, highly recommend going to Oktoberfest in Munich.
I would love that. There's a few different trips in Europe that I would love to do. Oktoberfest is one of them. One of my co-founders, Bjorn, is of Norwegian descent, and he's been talking up the opportunity to fly into Oslo and rent an RV and drive around the fjords and drive around the mountains. So that's also high on the list, and I think we'd probably get some good advice along the way. And then another friend of mine has family in Siena, Italy, where they do a horse race called the Palio through the old town in Siena every year. And I'd always hoped that maybe I'd get the chance to go there with my friend Lawrence and have kind of an insider's view into this ancient horse race that happens every year. I think it's in July or August.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff to see, a lot of places to go in this world. And that's why whenever I get the question of like, you know, when are you going to stop traveling, as if it's some sort of thing that, you know, you can reach a certain limit and you're done. I just look at the people and say, you know, like, I haven't seen 1/10 of the things I want to see yet.
That's for sure. There's plenty out there.
What are some of the things that you've done then, epic or not epic or anything like that in your life that you'd recommend to others? Some things that you've already traveled to or events that you've been to?
Yeah, I'm trying to think of the highlights. I really love the national parks around the United States. I think that there's so much natural history and history of the United States in the national parks. So I've made a point to try to get around to those. In fact, I worked at the national parks for a few months in between years of grad school. So those have definitely been a highlight. I got the chance to go up to Alaska a couple of years ago, and I think I anticipated that the travel expense and the administrative expense of Alaska was going to be much higher than it was. It's awfully easy to get up to Anchorage and rent a car and drive down to Kenai or drive up to Denali and have a really great vacation for even 5 days, 6, 7 days. So Alaska is quite an easier place to get to than I had anticipated it might be. I love traveling around Asia. I've had the chance to go there a couple of times, and I feel like it's almost important to be there now, because 5 years from now and 10 years from now, it's going to feel a lot different than it feels right now. And the first time that I went to China, some of the interactions that we had with people there was just awe-inspiring, because they hadn't had a ton of interactions with tourists yet. So there was an authenticity to the interpersonal communication that we had, and people were helpful. You didn't have to kind of keep track of whether you were being steered wrong or whether you were getting a raw deal. It just felt very genuine and authentic. So I had a really great trip out near Sichuan, in Chengdu, in the western part of China, where we kind of went up into the mountains and went horseback riding and camping with some people that were of Tibetan descent.
Wow.
And nearby there is a mountain called Emeshan. And if any of your listeners like religion or Buddhist religion and also hiking, it's a mountain that's got monasteries all over the mountain. And over the course of a couple of days, you can hike to the top of the mountain and stop at little tea houses along the way. And you can actually sleep in the monasteries there on Emeshan. And it's a good, you know, you hike during the daylight hours and then you kind of hang out with the other people who are either living there or just staying there overnight. That was one of the more tranquil and interesting places that we ever had the chance to spend a night. And also very, very cost effective. It was a very inexpensive place to be bumming around for a while.
Yeah, that sounds fantastic. And I will second the fact that Asia is, well, the one thing I loved about it was unlike anywhere else I had ever been, and I'm lumping Asia as a whole, but specifically Southeast Asia was so different from what we're used to in America. And traveling to Europe's great, and I love it, but and you get to see a lot of culture too, but it's not as different as when you're bumming around Southeast Asia, and it's just a completely different environment, completely different people who grew up, you know, learning in different ways and experiencing different things. I think it's pretty neat to see that. And I'll agree that, you know, the longer you wait to get there, the more it's going to change, not necessarily for the worse, but it's going to, everything's becoming more westernized as we speak. And, you know, going to Bangkok 10 years ago was a lot different than going to Bangkok today. And it's going to be a lot different than going 10 years from now. So,
yeah, I think you're right. One of the most memorable nights we had was while we were in China. Even the magic tricks or parlor tricks are a little bit different from place to place. I don't smoke, but I found myself a cigarette, and I don't know if you know the old cigarette up the nose and out the ear trick, but
no.
That really hunted well. That played really well on Emeshan because they tend to think of us as having big noses. So there was a little kid who kind of his eyes lit up, and he went and got his uncles and his aunts and his fathers and his friends. And we had a fun time after a couple of beers entertaining the crowd with how big our noses were over there in China.
That's awesome. Yeah. And I think that, you know, especially with talking with frequent flyer miles, and we don't know what the future holds with how we're going to use them. And you talked about award charts changing constantly. And yeah, I just think it's important. One of the things is that it's great to collect them and earn them, but I think that with a goal, having a goal in mind and then realizing that you earn them to use them and taking these type of experiences instead of hoarding them is really, really kind of an important step in the whole process.
Yeah, it really is. There's psychologists who study the relationship between hedonism and delayed gratification. And I think that there's a lot of folks that save up these points, and it's almost hard to let go of them because it's almost like a bank account, and it feels like they've kind of grown very, very fond of them. I'm in the same camp as you, is you got to start using them. There will always be opportunities to earn more. And hopefully what we've done here at Rocket Miles is create another good way to fund the balance so that you can use them more rapidly.
Yeah, I completely agree. I sometimes find myself thinking, do I really want to use miles for that? Like, what if I want to go here in the future? And then it's funny because you have two amazing options. And I think that is the real benefit of earning and learning how to use frequent flyer miles, is that it just opens up a world of possibilities. You can literally go anywhere, and you're always going to be able to do it because, you know, if you build up that bank, like we said, there's flexibility there.
Couldn't agree more.
Yeah, Jay, I really, really appreciate you taking the time to come on the show. And of course, starting a company that helps me and many people around the world earn more frequent flyer miles. Before I let you go, if you wouldn't mind, tell people where they can find Rocket Miles on the internet. And also, if you've got anything in the pipeline, specials or promotions that are coming up, what should they be looking out for?
Yeah, thanks for asking. You can find Rocket Miles by either Googling Rocket Miles, or if you go to www.rocketmiles.com. That's a good way to find it. In terms of promotions that we've got going on right now, we launched with Virgin Elevate just last week on Thursday, and there's a really great first purchase incentive there. So if you're a Red member, which is the general member for Virgin Elevate, you'll get 3,000 points for your first purchase, which is pretty terrific. 3,000 points plus the regular points you get for your booking on Rocket Miles, in most cases, is going to be enough for a free flight on your very first purchase, which is awfully exciting.
Yeah, it's awesome.
And then we've got some really great refer a friend programs. I think we're hopeful that we might do something with Pack of Peanuts to do a promotion with you guys later on in the year.
Yeah. And Jay, I guess I didn't ask you this before, but what's the background with the name Rocket Miles? How did that come about?
It's a great question. You know, there's a whole bunch of different names that we liked. And what we learned was that most of the URLs are reasonably well picked over. I kind of like Jetpack and Catapult and Slingshot the best. It was hard for us to get our hands on those. We think Rocket Miles works pretty good because the metaphor that we're using here is that we're putting a rocket on your mileage balance. So if you've got a goal in mind, we're going to help you get there more quickly. So our motto is we want to help you vacation faster.
Yeah, I think it's a perfect metaphor for what you guys are doing, and a really easy to remember name. You have a cool logo and stuff like that. So it's got my seal of approval for what that's worth.
Thank you. That's very important. Thank you.
Listeners, if you're looking to book hotel stays in the future, make sure you check out Rocket Miles at rocketmiles.com before you book so you can earn as many frequent flyer miles as possible and start taking those dream vacations. Signing up for an account is totally free, so head on over there and start seeing some of the amazing deals they offer. Also, if you have a question for Jay that we haven't answered here in the podcast, you can leave a comment over on the post at extrapackofpants.com. I'll make sure Jay gets them. And Jay, once again, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Travis, I sure appreciate you having me and look forward to the feedback from your audience.
Great. Thanks, Jay. If you like the podcast and want to see it grow even larger and put a big smile on my face, make sure to give it a rating over on iTunes. We truly appreciate that. And remember, if you want to make your travel dreams a reality, you can visit extrapackofpeanuts.com, the web's number one place for frequent flyer knowledge and cheap travel tricks. Jay, thanks for joining us. Everyone else who's listening, thanks for coming along for the ride. And until next time, happy free travels. Don't have to worry, 'cause we're blowing it. No, you don't have to worry.